We all have reason to celebrate, even in the goodness of God and others' lives. Pastor Tim challenges us today to celebrate His goodness, to remember our blessing, and to report it or testify of it to others. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I have often said throughout my life, when I hear people compare, you know, let me say it this way, you know, you've heard us say, and preachers say, and others say it, is that if we can get excited at a football game, we should get excited for the Lord. And I always used to say is that's not a fair comparison, because this year should be really exciting, you know? I was watching the Georgia game yesterday, and I want Georgia to win. I really do. But it always really, can I use the word, it tickles me when they don't. Because I like to watch people walk around. I gloom on their face and stuff. And when they were struggling, I went, oh, this is fun. This is going to be great tomorrow in church. You know, but I used to always say it's not a fair comparison, that because they should be the two different things. They should be something, two different things. But we love to celebrate things. We love to celebrate a home run. When a Duval hit the home run, when a Braves, you know, a play, we shouted and screamed and said it was a good thing. Or in a basketball game, that last minute shot, we enjoy that. We one side screams and hollers, the other side is sad. In the football games too, I should laugh at this, but you look at the side of the ones that are losing that was supposed to win, and they're weeping and crying. I go, wow, life is really short, you know? And so I'm not judging them for anything at all. I'm just saying that we love to celebrate, and when celebration is not there, when we don't have nothing to celebrate, we often cry, don't we? We often have a sadness in our life. You know, I believe from the very beginning, when God created the first two human beings, Adam and Eve, I believe they celebrated everything. It was their job to name the animals. You see it now, a cow walks out, they go, cow, you know? Just celebrate cow. Or a hog walks out, that's a hog, you know? And just celebrate those things. And when they was having a good time, and woo, that's a mosquito. Lord, why? You know, the chiggers, you know what they are? We call them a red bugs in South Georgia. They hate me. I curse sometimes when they get on me. I'm kidding. I really don't say anything I shouldn't say. But we celebrate things. We celebrate our children's successes. It was great for me to be able to walk out on the football field with Jordan, my oldest, on a senior night, even though he was on crutches. But it felt good to me to walk out there with him and to celebrate with him on that night that he's coming to be a senior in high school. It does my heart good to see my children do things and where we can go and we can have fun with it. You know, I'll bring in other sports things. When your team is not going real well, we hear the parents behind us, you going, you know, one of the things that I often hear is if the running back doesn't get along, doesn't get through the line and gets 5, 6, 7 yards, I can hear the parents behind me going, y'all need to block. I'm going to go, you know, my son's on the line. You know, my son's on the line. And so I don't get to celebrate much when somebody's talking about my son that was behind me. But what I'm talking about is celebration. We have celebrations for our nation after we have won a big war, World War I, World War II. I love to watch the videos of the celebration in the streets. We were born to celebrate, I think. We were born to be able to lift things up and to celebrate. We celebrate our losing weight, we celebrate a job, opportunity, or we get a promotion at work, we get a new car, new vehicle, we celebrate that, and we drive it around town with our hand up like this. I drive that sometimes, the generator going, Daddy, please stop. You're embarrassing me. I said, what's wrong with that? How times change. But spiritually, do we celebrate? Do we celebrate the spiritual things the way I believe God wants us to celebrate? I believe there's the victories of our life. And why is it so great for us to celebrate? Why is it so great for us to celebrate what God is doing? We can only can turn to God's Word. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it won't be on the screen today. But there's just a verse here that's really, really good. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing." Therefore, encourage one another. This scripture here, if you read before with me in my small group, we're learning how to study the Bible for all it's worth. Is we just can't to take one scripture and begin to apply it. We've got to read about it, what came before and what came after. But Paul was saying here that there's one day there's going to be doom and a gloom. But praise God, if you know Jesus Christ, that everything's going to be okay. And he gets down to this verse that says, "So therefore encourage each other with these words that I just I've told you. Encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing." Celebration encourages our heart, doesn't it? I feel encouraged when we have a celebration of any type. It encourages my heart. When there's a birthday at our house, we don't celebrate big parties every single birthday. But when there's a 16 or an 18, when they turn a teenager, we do something very special. And it encourages my heart. It encourages me to have that time together with a family. When I do a project for my wife, and she really likes it, she even celebrates every now and then, two or three times in our marriage in 19 years. It encourages my heart. I made her happy, and she celebrates that. It encourages me. It really does encourage me. I'm going to go through some different stories in the Bible. I want us to today just to have some time that we really think about where we are and what we're celebrating. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of the second book of the Bible, it's called what? Exodus, chapter 15, 20 through 21. It says, "Then the prophet of Miriam took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing, and Miriam sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed a gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea.'" And she is celebrating what God has just done for them. They just crossed the Red Sea, and he opened up the sea, the waters. And they walked across on dry land, and the water came back down on the Egyptians. And out of that moment, out of that time, that God had done something in a beautiful way and a glorious way, she says, "Let's grab a tambourine. Let's begin to sing unto the Lord and triumph that God has done something great." Throughout God's Word, we used to see these things. Just go to the New Testament in Acts chapter number 12. We see that Peter is in a prison. This is one of my favorite stories of the New Testament. He's in jail. He's been arrested for preaching God's word. He's sitting in at a jail. As he is sitting in jail, listen to this. There's a church praying for him. There's a church out there praying for him. So when you think that you're all alone, when you think you're going through something by yourself, and if you've been engaged within the body of Christ, let me just say this. When I say this, I mean this really, I want you to get this. When you've been engaged within the body of Christ, and you've been transparent to a certain a degree, whatever you're going through, there's people praying for you. Listen to me, if you close yourself off and don't let anyone in, guess what? No one knows what to pray. In this situation, it was very, they could really see. Peter is in jail. So the church is back praying. They close themselves in the house there, their house church, and begin to pray and seek God for him to do something great, to do something wonderful. That's going to be a common theme all of next year when the Lord has given us as a staff, is we're going to pray until God does something. We're going to pray until God does something, whatever he wants to do. So they're praying. Well, God hears them. And guess what happens? Peter is escorted out of the jail. He goes to the house. It's a great story. I love it. It's one of my most favorite stories of the New Testament. He goes to the house. You know, Peter's probably pumped. He's like, "Man, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm ready to celebrate and tell everybody what God has done." He goes and knocks. And the maid comes to the door, named Rhoda. Wasn't there a TV show named that? Simmons? Yeah. Some of you have the old John out here. Yeah, it was. Her name was Rhoda. Comes to the door. She recognizes who it is at the door. She's excited. She is unbelievably excited about who's at the door because she knows what they've been doing while she's been serving them. For fixing them, whatever they need. I know she probably in the back of her mind was in a spirit of prayer herself, but as she served them, listen to me. This is really, she was serving the church. She goes to the door. She knows who it is. She is so excited that she don't even let him in. She runs back into the churchman and says, "Hey, Peter's outside." And you would think the church would go, "Woo, we've been praying for that. Amen. Let's celebrate." They go, "Oh, no, he's not. He's in jail." No, he's not. You're nothing but a little, I'm just ad-libbing here. I have a feeling that you're nothing but a servant. What do you know? Always a side note here. God always uses the ones that we think that he would never use to proclaim victory. Yeah, he is. You'll go see. He's there. Sure enough, I'm sure Peter's just standing there going, when are they going to get back here? A celebration happens. Can you imagine? You've been praying. Oh, there he is. Can you imagine the celebration? The hugs and the tears of joy that was going on and the singing that began to happen? And the great time they had together because God had heard them. God had seen them. Let's go back to the Old Testament again. Out of Genesis chapter 50, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Out of Joseph now is older. He's been over the whole land of Egypt. And his brothers, let me just share the story. Some of you might know the story. I'd like to tell you the story. His brothers sold him into a slavery. He finds himself in Egypt, goes through a lot of things in Egypt, but finds himself in Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh, he gets favor, and Pharaoh has put him all over Egypt. There was a great famine on where his family was. So they had to go into Egypt. Now listen to this. And then Joseph realized that they're there. And throughout, when he realizes this, he begins to anticipate this moment when he's going to be reunited with his brothers and with his dad. He begins to anticipate this. If you read the story that way, you can see the anticipation within his heart that he really wants to see his family, to see his dad again. And through it all, you know, when they come to him, he was in such moment to want to reveal himself to them. He just finally says, "I got it almost like this. I'm going to live again. I need to tell y'all something. I'm Joseph." Then that moment of celebration within his heart where he could be upset and mad and hold a grudge. Listen to me today. If you're a person that holds grudges, if you're a person today that has hatred in your heart for someone else, if you're someone here today that says, "I can't stand that person that sits over yonder," or "I can't stand that person at work," your time of celebration is very limited, I'm going to tell you now. Your time of celebrating anything is very limited. The only thing you're going to celebrate is yourself. Understand this. There's been times I have had those words come out of my mouth. I said, "I really don't like that person. I can't really stand that person." As a pastor, you're probably going to think, "I don't know who that is." It's somewhere, I'm kidding. But through the years, when somebody's rubbed me the wrong way or has said something about me or tried to do, and that's very few and far between, trust me. But in those moments that Joseph had that moment to hold a grudge, to get revenge, what do you do? "I forgive you. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate together." What a heart. Are we getting it today? That the Lord, you know, we will celebrate these other things that are external that really doesn't mean anything the next day. Or doesn't really mean anything the next year, probably. We can look back on it. When I shoot a big deer, a big buck, you know. Ever told you that story? I went to Kansas. I haven't. That's exciting. But did it matter the next minute, really, in life? No, it was fun. I enjoyed it. And I celebrated. But why don't we celebrate things that are eternal? That have eternal significance. And at times we fail to celebrate those things. And to lift those things up. And the Word is full of moments like this. Full of moments like this. To celebrate. And I can see Joseph when he revealed himself to his brothers. And he says he wept and cried. I think out of tears of joy. And the tears like, I have my family back. I'm a family. Let's celebrate. One of the biggest stories in the New Testament that shows the celebration is the story of the prodigal son. Or I like to say the story of the loving father. The story of the loving father that had the two sons and one of his sons that came to him. A lot of you know the story, but some of you might not know the story. The reason I say that is because someone told me once, I said, when you say you know the story, I don't know the story. So I want you to understand, it was a father who had two sons. The youngest son came to him and said, I want my inheritance now. I want my inheritance now. So the father said, okay, I'll give you inheritance. He goes off to a foreign land and he parties and has a good time with his friends. Listen to me how what a life this is. It shows you there's no depth to it all. He partied, had time with his friends, enjoyed themselves in the life that they had now. And when the money began to run out, guess what? Also ran out. His friends. I can tell that to teenagers over and over again. I can tell that to adults, and we all still do it, even today after 2,000 years ago when that was over. It runs out. And he's thinking to himself, what am I supposed to do? I could go back to daddy's house. I could go back to daddy's house. That's why I came to mind. It was good at daddy's house. It was really good. I had a place to sleep. I could eat. It was really good. And so he comes to himself, as the Word says. You ever have come to yourself? You know? Some of you say, just kidding. Some of you are still doing that, huh? It's like telling a joke to Janet Ray, She's not even here to defend herself. But he comes to himself. So I'll just go to daddy's house. And it's a beautiful moment. Because it says that the father had been waiting for him. Would even look down the road. Hoping that today's the day that he comes home. Today's the day. One day that day came. Can you imagine? The Father. Can you imagine the Father sitting on the front porch in the swing? Says, could it be? Could it really be? Is it really him? It is. What did the Father do? Did he stay on the porch? What a celebration that they had together. And the son was like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to sleep in your house. I'm not worthy. And he said, oh no. Get a ring put on his hand, but you're represented here, my son. Kill the fatted calf that we named at the first of the sermon. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. We're going to enjoy this. We're going to celebrate. Why? Because my son was lost, but now he's found. And we're going to celebrate that together. We're going to enjoy this moment together. We're going to have a good time together with this. And everybody was celebrating except one. His brother comes in and says, Father, I've been faithful to you. I've done this and this and this. Why are you doing all this? And just once again, like I said, that holding that other grudge and saying, I've done everything right. Why didn't you ever celebrate me? And again, in those moments we hold things within ourselves against our loved ones through a wife or a husband or our children or that person that is at work that seemed like that they got the promotion and I should have gotten it. In those moments that even when somebody cuts us off in traffic, which is where I struggle sometimes. You know? I almost lose my religion sometimes. The speed limit is 40, not 25. You know? You have those moments? I do. Somebody said amen. Amen. All right. But we hold things within our heart and against them. Listen to me. Just like the sun here did. There was a party going on over here. What was he doing? I'm not going to celebrate that. And he misses the celebration. Oh, how many times we miss the celebration because how we hold things in our heart. Oh, how we miss the celebration. I've known instances a few years ago where I helped, I preached a funeral of a gentleman. He had just reconciled with his brother after 40 years. After 40 years. Think about the celebrations they missed together. Praise God, they got it together before he passed away. We celebrate a lot of things. But why don't we celebrate things that are eternal? Have eternal significance in our lives. We often just kind of don't. We just kind of, oh, that's great. Praise God. But let me tell you about my son that scored 6 touchdowns. And all of a sudden, we lighten up. Let me tell you about this promotion I got at work. And all of a sudden, we just lighten up and brighten up. Like, let me tell you about this. Why? Because we are a generation that loves that moment of satisfaction for the flesh and for external things. When God wants to do so much more for the eternal. In our hearts and in our lives. These are just two or three examples throughout God's Word. There's examples all over the place. One that comes to mind is Peter's out fishing in the boat. Jesus had already arisen from the dead. You know where I'm going with this? Jesus comes out on the seashore and he hollers out, "Hey! Y'all hungry?" And Peter recognizes who it is. The thing is, I never understood this. Peter was fishing naked. Who fishes naked? I don't understand that. But he don't care. He just jumps in the water naked. Celebration. Think about that moment when he begins to cook that breakfast. Begin to cook. Now look at me, that's where the source team lead. They'll be back right over here in a minute. So focusing on me. They begin to cook. What a great celebration on that seashore. Don't you think? That was the best fish they ever had, probably. It encourages our heart. It reminds us of what God has done. But I have a grand celebration of what God has done. It reminds me of that throughout my life. And then in my deepest valley, when that time it seems like life is not worth living, in that moment that seems like the world has just fallen apart, that seems like someone has just jerked the rug out from under us, I can remember what God has done. I remember that celebration of what God has done. I can remember that moment, what God has done. You ask any athlete today that has to retire. You know, I talked to one. I said, does it help you to relive that touchdown? Not really, because it's over, because the crowds are not clapping anymore. But praise God, when we have something eternal, when God does something beautiful, I can go back and visit it. I can visit that Monday afternoon when the Lord set me free. I can see it right now. It encourages my heart. It lifts me up. When I'm in a deep valley or I'm sad or whatever's going on, I can look back and say, thank you, Jesus. the celebration that I had, because God is faithful. He is faithful. Throughout all these stories I've talked to you about today, it comes down to one of this, that God is always faithful. He is always faithful. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes people ask me questions, like I prayed before. Sometimes I go, I really don't know. But I know the one that holds tomorrow. I know the one that holds today. I know the one that can set us all free. I do know the answer to those things. We celebrate together because it helps hold us together. Because it helps hold us together. It holds us together. Whew. I began to write down some names throughout the years. Brother Fred Savage, I heard your testimony Tuesday night. We celebrated with you, didn't we? On what God had done in your life. That celebration recovery, he gave his testimony. It was a testament of where God has brought him from to where he is now. Celebration. One of the oldest members of our church, but Oscar Adams. I can still, as a young man, see you in the Easter play as a guard. And for some reason, that has always affected me, has always encouraged my heart to see you in that other guard suit. It's one of the very first ones. I only had two other guards in the Easter play, the very first one, and he was one of them. It encourages my heart. I think of my children, of Jordan and of Jared and of Jan Ray, accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, and how the celebration, I celebrate that today. Why? Because it's something that's eternal. Casey, I celebrate with you today what God has done. Dustin Miranda, I celebrate with you today on what God has done and is continuing to do in your lives as you hold your children today. It's fun to celebrate football games. Please continue to do it. And when Georgia wins, you celebrate all you want. But God forbid if we don't celebrate things that are eternal. That we don't celebrate that moment when someone gets saved, or that moment someone gets healed, or someone just gives a simple word of testimony about something that seems to be very minor, that God did. And God was faithful. Last story in the Word. It always encourages my heart. John the Baptist is in jail. He's in prison. He don't have long to live. He looks at some of his disciples and says, I love this story. Will you go and take a look at Jesus? Make sure he's the right one. Make sure he's the one that I talked about. Will you do that for me? Will you come back and testify that he's the right one? Can you imagine this picture? Imagine it with me. John the Baptist that gave his life to be the forerunner of Christ, to be the first one to say, hey, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. Now he's in jail for it. He says, will you go and just check one more time? They come back with a report and says, yeah, he's the one. He's the one. And for some reason, I can't imagine John the Baptist jump up and down and screaming in his cell. I can just imagine he just sat back and took a deep breath and goes, oh, I know he was. And the celebration that lasts is that celebration that touches down deep within ourselves and that heart that only God can do. That celebration that only that he can give us. That peace that only he can give us. Deion Sanders, he had won like his second, third Super Bowl. I heard him tell the testimony. He walked in, his wife says, Deion, you just won that Super Bowl. He went, ah, that's another thing. Just another thing. Let me tell you something, but when God does something, it's not just another thing. It's eternal. It's eternal. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Listen to me. As the music's playing, I want you to search your heart today. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord today? Do you know him as your Savior today? I'm not talking about something that happened 10 years ago and you never darkened a church again. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when you was baptized as a child. You said, oh, everything's great and haven't really lived for it. Do you know him? In my small group, I ask questions. Why do we study the Bible? Where's to learn about things? It's to know him. That's why. Do you know the Lord today? Whatever the case is, you know what? We want to celebrate with you today. If you want, whatever it is, we're going to sing this song of celebration. And if you have a need today, if you want to get saved, this altar is open. I invite you to come and just kneel down and just praise the Lord today. You just want to come down and just praise Him for something that came to mind when I was preaching. I want you to come. I want you to stand with me.
In the coming days and weeks, as we journey together, let us be mindful of the reasons we have to celebrate in the lives of others. Let us be mindful of the blessing of God that comes to our lives, even when we stand at a distance and witness His blessing in the lives of others. We hope this week you will find reason to celebrate in your life and rejoice and be glad. God bless you. Have a great week.